Hey there, listeners. Need a new gig in the writing world? Have you considered becoming a book coach but never known how to get started or been able to envision exactly what that might look like for you? Author Accelerator can help. Sign up at bookcoaches.com to get a free mini course on what book coaching is, who makes a good book coach, and how you can make money helping writers soar.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone trying to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three.
Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the podcast about writing all the things at all the times. Short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction, pitches, proposals. This is the podcast about sitting down and getting that work done.
Hey, I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and the new book, The Addiction Inoculation, Raising Healthy Kids in a Culture of Dependence. And I am working, as we will be talking about in a minute, on my third book now.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of 35 romance novels, and I am also working on something new. You can find me wherever ebooks are sold or at serenabowen.com.
And to chime in with the working on something new, I'm KJ Delantonia, author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, the nonfiction book How to Be a Happier Parent, former editor at the New York Times, and I am desperately working on something that is really not so new. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today's topic, summer writing plans. Because here in New England, the sun is finally shining. It is finally over 50 degrees. We're going to pretend I did not go on a hike wearing three layers and a hat yesterday because, yeah, it's June.
I almost put a fire in the wood stove a couple days ago
because totally
it was so cold.
Put a fire yesterday. Yeah.
This is where things get really, really challenging for me. Keeping my butt in the chair gets really hard for me during the summer as someone who would prefer to spend all day gardening. So this gets hard for me. But I'm actually really excited about this summer. So let's talk about it. KJ, you want to start by talking about your thing? Get it out of the way.
No, I want to throw myself on the ground and weep. So this is revision number 463 of what should be my second novel, which hopefully this time next year I'll be cheerfully talking about its imminent or immediately past release, because that's the goal. It's supposed to come out in summer of 2022, which is a weird thing to say, but there we go. And I'm halfway through what should be the last substantive revision. There is always the chance that that will change. I'm sort of at that point where it's really hard for me to see the forest. I'm just chopping down trees and erecting other trees and taping fake trees to real trees. And yeah, it's kind of messy.
So then what? Turn it in and...
Then what? Yeah, I turn it in. And I go on vacation.
Hard won vacation.
And I clean my house. And yeah, I'm going to spend the rest of the I turn it in and my editor immediately turns it around and hands it immediately back to me because she wants to give it to me back to me before her vacation, which is also the same as my vacation. So I will probably just hold tight for that 2 weeks and then make a decision based, but assuming that what comes after is more moderate, I'm gonna spend the summer thinking and like doodling and planning and sketching things out. And my hope would be I've got a couple, three ideas that to play with, and I would hope to come out of the summer with one of them in the lead. That's kind of cool. My only goal, I think.
If you have a summer release date, they have to have a lockdown date in mind for when, you know, for better or for worse, you get to put this book down.
I think she hasn't told me what that is yet so that I won't, like, freak out and jump out of window.
Okay. All right.
Because, I mean, I'm literally, and it was this way before. There were scenes at the end of The Chicken Sisters that I wrote entirely new in the last draft, and that will hopefully, assuming this is the last substantive draft, that will be true of this one too. And What I didn't say is that I'm changing it from third person to first person. So that really means touching every single word.
Yeah, can we pause here for just a second? Because Serena, I think if she were to put down a list of the things that have been the worst experiences of her life, that would, you know, her writing life, that might be one of them.
Digging ditches is easier than changing a third person book to first.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do to, like, you know, I keep going, well, I could sort of change she to I, but I can't do that universally because obviously there are other she's. I can't go through every she, like, in that way. It just doesn't make... And plus, there's enough other revision going on that it just... The only thing to do is just basically retype the whole book in essence.
There has to be some sort of artificial intelligence thing coming. I mean, this is going to be in the next 5 years. There will be some sort of, like... Just for fun, let's switch this over to first person.
I don't know, because if you think about all the problems people are out there trying to solve, this is not at the top of the list. There are like 7 people every year who do this.
I don't know. I think there are just people hammering away out there, whether it's, you know, a million monkeys on a million typewriters. You know, someone's working on it out there.
It did occur to me that in a different world with more time and more money, I could hire someone to just change it, not do anything else, just change it, and then go through and fix it. But that's, I don't know, I
definitely had that thought many times before now, and then always was like, oh, but that wouldn't even be helpful, because then you have to go touch every sentence anyway.
Yeah,
like, it's just pain, and you just have to, like, take the Advil and keep going.
It's true. And enough of what I'm doing is still extremely creative and thoughtful that it's just putting that special edge of drudgery on the whole thing. And meanwhile, my agent's like calling me up and yelling, make it fun!
Playful, more playful. Yeah. It's like a
playful! Yeah, I'm really feeling it. So my next 19 days from when we are recording are spoken for.
Wow. Yeah, I got to look at my calendar and I moved some things. I was very good to myself. I emailed a couple of people whose podcasts I was doing and I said, look, you can have stressed me before June 15th, or you can have more relaxed me after June 15th. And most people were very nice and said, we'd love to have relaxed Jess on the podcast as opposed to stressed Jess, because my self-imposed goal is to have the proposal for my next book to my agent. She's already seen chunks of it, but I need to have like the completed thing with the chapter summaries and some titles of competing, you know, other works that are out there. So June 15th, that's pretty much all I'm doing between now and June 15th, except, of course, plopped right in the middle there was my kid and two friends need to get to New York with a whole bunch of their stuff, and they don't want to have a car down there in New York City, so I appear to have rented a van and I'm driving some people to New York and then turning around and driving back, but I get to spend, you know, a whole bunch of time on the road with some kids that I adore. So I'm chalking that up as a win. So
what is the goal in terms of submission? And I think this is the same question you asked me basically, but it's got to be either before or after August because August is August. Mm-hmm. What are you two thinking?
So she has already seen the sample chapter and loves it. So that's the big heavy lifting piece is the sample chapter. The table of contents has been taking me a super long time to get just right. And we'll probably have to go back and forth on that just a little bit. If addiction inoculation was any indication, we went back and forth on what should be in there and what shouldn't be in there. And hopefully we'll have something in July to submit. And I'm not going to be devastated if we just decide, let's wait till September. It's not like there's a huge time crunch on me right now. So I would just like to, have these self-imposed deadlines so that they motivate me. And I like to have a big date circled on the calendar so that I can say, oh no, that's the week before my deadline. Let me move some things. And Lori was super happy with June 15th as a deadline to get things to her because she's excited about this book. So.
Yay. Yeah. That's a great place to be.
It really is. And for the first time ever, I can see the book. And the table of contents thing has been the real sticking point, because I didn't know how this book should be structured. And then I texted you guys last week and I'm like, oh, I have the beginning and the end. And then the rest of it in the middle started to fall into place. So that's a new development that's very nice.
And what will you do when it's turned in? Besides garden.
Gardening and some bike rides, some stuff. There's some stuff on my calendar that's just fun now that everyone in my family is fully vaccinated. My younger son is really into music. And of course, there's been no live music anywhere. And so one of his idols is this guy who does a beautiful job on YouTube with a music theory channel, and he has a jazz band. And my younger son is not 18 yet, and so the only place we could go see them was in D.C., so we're going to go to D.C. and go see a band, live music. I mean, can you even imagine? It's so exciting. So just have fun with my kiddo and be out in the garden a lot. And then Lori turns things around really quickly, and Gail tends to act very quickly. When she gets a proposal, I was shocked by how quickly she got back about addiction inoculation. So hopefully I'll have marching orders pretty quickly, I hope. And I hope it's a yes, and I hope it's moving forward, because the more I work on this book, the more I'm excited I am about it.
Well, I'm sure it's going to go somewhere. So in a minute, let's try to talk about like how we're going to get some of this stuff done mm-hmm. in this difficult season. But first, Serena, goals. Come on.
Well, I very consciously front-loaded my 2021 work into January through mid-May. And I turned in a book on May 17, and now I've been basically in like a heap on the rug.
You were killing yourself at the beginning of this year. You were in overdrive. It was really crazy how hard you worked at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, that was not the best decision I ever made, and I am pretty tired. But luckily, I've hit the fun part now, and I'm finishing a novella at like a snail's pace, but that's all right. And that would be my last 2021 publication is a novella. And then during July and August, I'm working on a collaboration project that I'm not actually allowed to talk about just in case it doesn't work out. But that collaborations are like a different kind of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to that because they can be really fun if you, you know, have a good mind meld with the person you're working with. So that will just be a great change because I haven't collaborated on a book in a while now, at least a year. And then as the year progresses, I will have to write a 2022 book that is super fun. I'm only writing books that I'm really excited about. This last one kind of like cured me of promising things that I wasn't excited to write. Like the book I finished a couple of weeks ago, I had promised to a foreign publisher. Mm-hmm. And so I'd sold it like a year ago, and there wasn't anything I could do about the date. Like I just had to get it done. And I couldn't change the story because they had written somebody told me once that Germans write really short blurbs for the books. And I guess that's true. But then I went to look up what they'd written and it was like not, you know, vague at all. Like, okay, I guess I'm not changing my mind.
I guess these things better happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did it. I wrote the thing, but it was difficult because my head was not in the right place. And I'm just trying not to do that to myself again. You know, any book that you're almost done with is not the book you want to work on. So it's not like I think I'll be skipping through a meadow full of daisies and, you know, rainbows forever, because the last quarter of everything is just really hard. But I am pretty fired up about the things I get to work on next, and so that's pretty great.
I've got a new routine where lately I've been thinking about a lot of pitches that could go out to various publications. I'm still in, pitching things, you know, excerpts and stuff for addiction inoculation. But with this impending deadline. So my new thing is every time I have an idea for a pitch, I'll even let myself write the email to the editor. And then before I hit send, I have to stop and say, do you really want to write this? Or do you think it's just a good idea for you to write this? And I've managed to delete quite a few pitches before I actually sent them out. So I'm very proud of myself about that. Because nothing is worse than something when you've promised a writing thing that you don't actually want to write. It's the worst.
Yeah. I have a whole book in my head that I could sell in a heartbeat, and I don't want to write it. No, absolutely 100% no part of me wants to write it. Sometimes I think I'll just like fictionalize it and pretend to write it because it would be too much work, basically.
It's so good that you know that, though, because, you know, we often get so stuck in that shiny object syndrome. So I think it's
shiny.
Good to know that.
Shiny objects. So when you two are putting pen to paper or fingers to laptop or whatever, like during, so over the summer, when you need to get stuff done, how do you get it done?
You know, all of us kind of have the good fortune that our kids are like an age where we don't have to chase them around to keep them from swallowing pennies. So this is
unless that got really cool on TikTok, in which case I think we might have a problem.
Well, you know, mostly my sons, I always say, like, they don't really want me around. So getting private time for me to work is not as hard as getting the motivation to do so. So sometimes it's about keeping a daily routine, like get it done in the morning and then let yourself goof off with whoever's, you know, sitting around in their pajamas still in your house at 12:30.
Yeah, I've found that sticking with the routine of work in the morning, outside fun in the afternoon, and then sort of easing into, you know, if I'm going to cook or whatever. But I find that if I push the work off too late, that it, other stuff is going to get in the way. So I have to work in the morning. And when I say morning, I'm not a morning person. So I get up later than almost everyone in the house. So I'm good with that. I've really reconciled that, and I get up. And the other thing I have found that really helps is I had a playlist of music that when I really, really had to focus on the addiction inoculation, like if it was the hard stuff where the words can't have lyrics or anything because it would be too distracting, when I put that playlist on, my brain goes into work mode. It's the coolest thing. Ooh. So even if I change the music later, if I hit that playlist, and it's really, I think it's a Spotify playlist called Deep Focus, and it's ambient, almost like, you know, if you were going to, I don't know, go, it's almost elevatory, it's background sort of stuff. But for whatever reason, I think because I used it and got conditioned that it was the work music. The other thing is I have in my office, and this has really become good information for me. There are three spots in my office where I work. One is where I'm sitting right now, and that's where I give interviews and do podcasts and stuff like that. One is when I'm doing stand-up presentations. And then one is my writing spot where like the big monitor is, and that is my work spot. And if I try to work anywhere other than that spot, and that means even dragging myself outside or trying to work in the kitchen, it just doesn't work. I have to be in my serious work spot to get the serious work done, which is inconvenient because I think it'll be hard for me again when I'm traveling to break that. But as long as I've got my deep focus music and my serious work spot, then I can usually kick my trick my brain into saying, okay, it's time to focus.
I do work outside. I love to work outside, but I do the same thing that Serena said. Again, similarly, I don't have to chase kids around. Often I have to drive them somewhere, and that can be helpful because that gets me up, because I am also not a morning person. So I'm up and I'm at them and I come back and I sit down, and I typically go till one. One is my stopping point when I have stuff.
It depends on what I'm writing. If I'm writing stuff, like narrative stuff, I can usually go a little longer. But when it's piecing together research, my brain gets tired a lot faster. And then I tend to just burn out earlier. But the other reason I have to sit in this specific spot in the office is that it's where all my books are. And when I'm writing something like this, but I have found that working outside works great when I'm thinking about when I've been jotting down fiction stuff, because then my brain can wander into my imaginary places and stuff like that, and I don't need books to refer to. So It's a different sort of thing.
I actually have to get away from the computer sometimes because there's so much admin in my life and it's all business related. You know, it's month end right now, so I'm waiting for all the transactions to fall into QuickBooks so I can deal with it. And I could just spend all day on that stuff. So sometimes I have to pick up my Remarkable tablet or a notebook and move my body physically away from the machine and go make a bunch of notes so that it seems more linear, that the work that I have to do has been like hammered into a linear shape. And then I can use Mac Freedom to shut off QuickBooks and any other temptations, like Googling, you know, when to snip the tops off of Thai basil or whatever. and then I can finally get the words into the document.
Well, I just want to say ode to the office today. I actually finally today sat down with my husband and said, listen, over the summer, I think you're going to need to go back to work. Because this weekend, you know, everyone was home and the weather wasn't great and they were all in the house and he was in the house. And there is no, if I am not in the office, there's nowhere for me to sit that people are not going to come stomping in. And that includes my bedroom where he comes stomping in. Even though he's here in the office, he has to do bedroom things. And I've been fine. Like all year, it's been like, it's fine. It's Starbucks. It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever. And I'm just done. I really, either I need this office back or we need another office because I can't sit in the living room in the middle of everything anymore.
Yeah. My office is a little bit out of the way and there's no reason for anyone else to come in my office, which is lovely. And when I have this deal where I have these French doors and then I have these noise dampening, sound dampening curtains that go over them. And when those curtains are closed, everyone knows not only will they interrupt me or make a noise, but it'll cause the dogs to flip out and the dogs are in the room with me. So that's sort of everyone's clue that I'm working. But it's been, you know, this has been hard. Tim's finally going back to work, which is, I think, good for him and good for me. We're starting to get a little space from each other, which it's gone better this year than I thought it would. But there, we've been in each other's faces a lot more than usual.
It's a glimpse at retirement. Do you have an office, Serena? I don't even know.
I don't actually. I run a small global publishing company from my bedroom, but there is a lot of stuff in here. I have a desktop computer on a treadmill desk. I have a laptop and, you know, recording equipment and files. And, you know, it's a big room.
And you have lots and lots of copies of your books because I love your bookcase in there that's just filled up to the brim with lots of Serena. It makes me really happy to see it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if any listeners know where a girl can donate a lot of German romance novels, please, the suggestion. It costs $25 to ship a book to Germany, and I would happily give them away. It's just really difficult to do so.
You need to find, like, the German club somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, because think how delighted some German student, you know, German 4 students would be to receive these.
Right. And, you know, the Dutch club and.
Yeah.
And anyone learning Czech?
I actually just got a new edition of the Italian version of The Gift of Failure, which I was thrilled about because the original cover I was not a fan of. And they shipped me copies and they got lost in the mail. And they shipped me more copies and then the ones that got lost showed up. So I have a lot of copies of The Gift of Failure in Italian with two different covers. So if anyone knows of anyone who would like an Italian copy of The Gift of Failure, I've got those too. So if we could just find all of those foreign language clubs, I think we'd be in good shape, Serena.
You know, all of these contracts have like 3 copies in them or 5 copies or whatever, But what nobody tells you is that when your foreign rights agent cleans out her office, then suddenly you get a box and it's got whatever is in it, you know, that she's sick of looking at too. So they just, they
Actually, you know what I have? I was working a lot. I was speaking a lot in places like Vancouver and San Francisco that have a very large Chinese population. And so I realized when I was speaking in Vancouver once that I could have easily sold 50 copies of my book in Mandarin. And they're so hard to get a hold of. Why transferring money to China is a whole crazy endeavor. It took me 4 trips to the bank. So I said, well, I don't want to do this again. So let me up my order to, I think I bought 50 copies of my own book in Mandarin. And so now I have, they're in a closet because, of course, I'm not traveling anymore right now. So if anyone knows of anyone who would like a Mandarin copy of The Gift of Failure, I have plenty of copies. But it, when you go to a place where it's been really nice, when I do go to a place like where I know there's a diaspora, I sort of look up if that city and figure out what communities might be there. And I'll take copies of my books in various languages. And it's always really nice when you find someone who really wants that copy of that book. And I was able to give someone a Korean copy in a place and she nearly came to tears. She said, I never find Korean books anywhere. When I went to Miami once, I took 2 Portuguese versions and was able to give those away. And it's a really cool thing when you find the right fit for a foreign language edition.
Well, I just want to get back to the idea of how we get summer work done. Yeah, okay.
Tangents are fun.
Tangents are awesome. We are all about the tangent. But, you know, we were talking about how the 3 of us are in a good place. You know, I may be driving people, but none of us are really overwhelmed with child stuff. But we've all been there.
Yeah.
And I, looking back on past summers, my single biggest piece of advice would be, and it's pretty much true all the time, but to work when you work and play when you play.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're going to work for an hour every morning, then that's the hour where there are 3 Dora the Explorers or My Little Ponies or whatever, Duck Step and Doc McStubbins, and don't unload the dishwasher or whatever. Sit down, do the work. An hour every day over the summer, that could be, 100 words a day. That's, 3,000 words a month, 9,000 words at the end of the summer, you're well on your way, and you can write more than 100 words in an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then just put it away and do your summer stuff and don't sit there kicking yourself because you're not working. Take days off when you take days off and have longer days when you have longer days.
You know, I didn't write books when I had small children, but there was, of course, other things that I wanted to get done. And a teacher once said to me, a preschool teacher said, children will let you get work done if they can understand it. So that's why, it's easier to unload the dishwasher with your toddler than write a chapter, because if they can see mommy putting the glasses away or whatever, at least they know what the heck you're doing. And it gave me a deeper understanding of what to do when.
I've definitely known people with older kids who have been able to get their kids interested in creating their own stories, or at least convince them, to leave the door shut for an hour as long as there was a clock or a big sign that said when you were going to emerge, things like that. I feel like summer mornings it's really possible, because if you do 9 to 10 and then at 10 o'clock everybody's going to the pool, they have incentive.
Right.
It's not easy, but it is doable, especially if you set it up as a routine.
Absolutely. I have also found that I enjoy my downtime more when I'm not guilty about working, and I enjoy my work time when I am not feeling bad, guilty about not being having fun. So separating the two has been really, really good for me. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I also think it's a great time to think of, like you said, to you were just talking about writing your pitches, but it's a great time to come up with ideas, to just sit down and brainstorm a bunch of stuff that you want to do or that you might want to do and hack through it. And it's a great time to fill the well. if you've been working all fall, all winter, then maybe it's time to do some reading and thinking and roaming and dreaming.
I like it.
At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I like it.
Hey, listeners. Would you like to know when a fresh episode of Hashtag AmWriting is ready? Hear all the details when we accidentally don't drop an episode on time, or get KJ's random top thoughts while recording an episode as memorialized in the show notes? Subscribe to our weekly podcast email at amwritingpodcast.com and all of that can be yours. Plus, if you decide to support the pod, you'll get writer top fives and bonus episodes, as well as access to all the earlier bonuses on things like recording audiobooks, finding an agent, starting a revision, and book launches. Find out more at amwritingpodcast.com.
Do we want to, speaking of reading, do we want to talk about what we've been reading? Because I've been reading such good stuff.
Well, obviously we do.
Okay, good. People, the new Christina Lauren is so good. I loved it so much. Now, here's the thing I like about them. And for those people who are not familiar with Christina Lauren, they are two separate people. And they do this thing that I am absolutely crazy about, mainly because of the research factor, which is they set their books in occupations that are really fun, like being an agent or being in PR or, in this case, working in the dating industry. And they do really good research, but not so much. It goes deep enough so that I'm still engaged and I really like it. And I think it sounds like they know what they're talking about. So you can tell they've really done their work, but they've also made it really fun. And this new one, it is called The Soulmate Equation, and it is a total delight, especially if you are a numbers geek. If you're a numbers geek, Serena, you're going to love it so much, you number geek.
Okay, I'm in.
You're going to love it. It's really, really good. I did not want it to end. And they nailed me. They stuck the landing too.
Serena, anything good?
Well, you know, it's Pride Month, and there are lots of wonderful authors that I might read this month, including some of my favorites, Annabeth Elbert, Garrett Lee, Eli Easton, Rachel Lacey, and actually Christina Lauren have a beautiful young adult book called Autobiography.
I loved that book.
Yeah. It's shelved as young adult. It's about two boys, one of whom is still in high school, and they live in the Mormon community, and it's also very well researched because Christina worked in the Mormon community, and it's lovely. It's just wonderful.
All right. Well, I need a moment because I too would like to share a Pride pick. And I guess first off, I'll just throw out there my favorite, I guess, Pride book, if you want, of all time, which is The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. That's about the AIDS epidemic in Chicago and also current Paris, and it is just wonderful, and he loved it so much. But the one I wanted to talk about that I just finished is called Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers. It was a book of the month, last month, 2 months ago, probably 2 months ago. And it is just a really wonderful, it's a little bit like Queenie or Writers and Lovers in that it is a very much a coming of age story, which I'm not usually that into, but I typically, especially if the person sort of can't get their professional act together, which is kind of true in this place. But what was great about this one, besides that it is a lesbian, what's the trope called when you wake up and you're married?
waking up married.
Okay, it's lesbian waking
in
up
Vegas,
and,
usually.
That's an excellent name for it. How clever. I never would have thought of that. So it is a lesbian BIPOC waking up married from Las Vegas, and it's just lovely and charming, and the people in it really, obviously they fall in love or it wouldn't be very fun, but they also really have to sort of find themselves so that they can bring somebody real to this fake marriage that they have come up with. So loved it. It was very good and a lot of fun. And I also, I read a book that did not stick the landing this week.
Bummer.
And I just need to take a moment without dishing on any authors because we don't do that. But it, I'm trying to think, what can I say that is useful about this level of not sticking the landing? I guess the thing that I really wanted to keep coming back to is that, you know, when you engage, I guess this is kind of like my reader, my agent shouting, be fun at me. When you get your readers attached to a protagonist and they're having, you know, fun experiencing things with them, even if the things are not great, you know, even if the story is stressful, you need to finish the story of that protagonist. You cannot suddenly just pitch them under the bus and go with a different narrator. Or at least I don't think you can. And I was not happy as a reader.
It's surprising sometimes, you know, that editors let that happen. I don't know. I it's really surprising to me that those books make it through.
I think that the way that it is done in this book was thematically trying to say something that was consistent with the rest of the theme of the book. So, you know, although it didn't, I don't agree with that way of expressing the theme. And I think that's, you know, not fulfilling the promise of the premise when you don't go all the way with your protagonist. But my guess is that that's why editorially they let it go, because the author, I think, felt like it had to be this way. And this is kind of like, it's maybe it's a fault of the marketing more than, well, no, it's honestly not. It's honestly not.
That was nice
it's
of you,
not,
though.
I mean, unless you want to market it as, do you guys remember the movie From Dusk Till Dawn?
Mm-hmm.
It's early Quentin Tarantino. And here you are, and you're in a van with Juliette Lewis and her dad, who is Robert De Niro? No, but somebody who looks vaguely like him. And her brother, and they're having like a family argument in the van, and that's where you are. And I watched this like on HBO, so with no idea what was going to happen. And for like 45 minutes, you're just with this family in the van. And then there's murderers. Okay, so that's fine. That makes total sense, especially if you've got Juliette Lewis, right? It's very Cape Fear-esque. And then they go in this bar, and suddenly, vampires. No hint of vampires prior to halfway through. I mean, I fell over laughing at it being in a movie, but in the book, it was a little bit like, wait, vampires? I mean, they weren't literal vampires, but not far off. Not far off.
Huh.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
And I will dish, people, if you find a way to email me and you want to know what book it was. I will. Dish.
Well, all I can
we're not gonna say anything, because it's hard to write a book, and you know, more power. And I'll bet you this next person's next book is I bet that next time they hit it out of the park.
Well, since we close up this am reading segment, there's a lot of good books coming out these days and this summer. I think there's going to be a lot of good
things. Well, and that's what we're going to do next week.
Exactly. That was going to be my segue. So I'm excited to talk about that, because I was looking on Twitter at people's piles of books that came out today and congratulating authors. I'm like, oh, and I want to read that, and I want to read that, and I want to read that. I'm very excited. It's going to be some good stuff.
So yeah.
Yep.
Next week, summer TBR. Yep. We'll each present our summer TBR, and then you can tell us who you're reading along with, which is the TBR that speaks to you best. That will be a little theft from Book Riot there, but that would be super fun. Yep. And then after that, we're going to change it up a bit for the summer. We are going to be putting out a fresh episode of Hashtag Am Writing every week this summer, just like we always have. We've actually never missed an episode in 267 weeks.
And we've never repeated. Yeah. We've never done a rerun. We've never,
nope.
I know.
Crazy. So what we're doing is, like, you know, special episode. Jenny Nash and I are going to get together every week and talk writing books. So we're calling it The Working Bookshelf. And every week we're going to come up with two books that address a specific writery, crafty thing, whether it's characterization or productivity or marketing, and we're gonna put those books head to head and argue about which one we like best. And then we're probably going to tangent off and talk about the actual topic. So that's going to be the summer on hashtag MWriting, and I hope everybody likes it because I think it's going to be super fun.
Well, we do happen to know that when Jenny is on, people tend to love those episodes. So I'm so hoping it's going to be a really fun summer.
Yeah, good stuff. So more about that next week, along with hashtag summer reading. All right. I think we've called it.
You have anything to add, Serena, or are you good this week?
I'm good.
Okay. Until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.